Classic Business. Innovation and competitiveness.
The Innovation and Competitiveness feature on Classic Business is proudly brought to you by Wits University. From telling the story of life to finding solutions to mining problems, Wits is at the forefront. Now, when asked what the biggest innovation in technology is at the moment, one might be quick to go with something like artificial intelligence or maybe even 5G. But while these technologies are still upcoming and are advancing with each stage, the latest, shall we call it a buzzword in town making waves, is quantum technology. And we can certainly be proud that we have researchers at the entangled edge of this science right here in South Africa. Professor Andrew Forbes, who's head of the Structured Light Laboratory at Wits School of Physics, is chief among them. Evening, Professor. I hope you're going to be able to disentangle structured light and photonics for us tonight. Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you for having me on the show.
Now, you've spent several years working as an applied laser physicist, first for the African Atomic Energy Corporation, then later in a private laser company where you were a technical director. Just tell us a little bit more about the research you've done and are currently doing at Wits.
Sure. So, well, my background traditionally would be in lasers. So South Africa has got a very long history in lasers. We were amongst the first in the world to develop lasers. And back in the day at the Atomic Energy Corporation, we had very large programs to develop some of the best in the world. So that's my background, and from that we spun out a company to sell those lasers. More recently, I've moved to controlling the light from lasers more than building the lasers themselves. So when we talk about structured light, what we mean is we mean taking light and tailoring it, much like you would do a suit, cutting out the cloth, except we cut out the light and we try to tailor that light to hold particular properties so that we can apply it.
What sort of applications? I'm fascinated. You know, when one thinks light, one certainly thinks fiber technology and light waves through fiber cables. Is this sort of a communications application? What sort of applications will structured light and photonics have in South Africa?
Excellent question. So, you know, I would think the average listener may not have heard the term photonics very often. Certainly they would have heard of light. When we talk about photonics, we mean harnessing light, controlling light. And in the bigger perspective, you can imagine that, you know, we've gone from a world of, as you said yourself, electrons down copper wires to light down fiber optics. But it's not just communications, also televisions. The old televisions would be these large tube devices, also electronic-based. Now they would be light-emitting diodes, like LED televisions, so light-based devices. In fact, we believe that everything that was originally electronics will slowly be replaced by things that are photonics, meaning electrons replaced with light. And structured light is just a vehicle to get us down that road.
Absolutely fascinating. Now, in terms of commercializing that technology, how far down the road are we to take what's happening in the lab and commercializing that in the real world? We talk about that gap when we discuss R&D on the show all the time, and that there is a dear need for commercialization of a lot of the R&D that we see in our research institutions, and very often it's perhaps due to a lack of understanding IP or funding where this tends to fall down. What are the sorts of challenges that you're facing in commercializing this technology?
You're quite right. It is a very difficult landscape. I think there are multiple problems. The one obviously is the personalities of the type of people who do research. They are by and large risk averse. And so to get somebody out of their comfort zone at the university and take a chance on a company is not very easy. I think also the landscape from a funding perspective is not very conducive to it in South Africa. There are not that many venture capitalists who want to take the risk. And most companies want to take up an existing technology rather than develop one. But having said that, I mean, I believe that photonics is an international field. It's growing at a tremendous rate, something like 20% per annum and with hundreds of billions of dollars. So there's a tremendous opportunity. At Wits, what we're trying to do is culture an entrepreneurial spirit in our students, in my group, for example, and take new research out into prototypes, and then from prototypes into companies through the students. And at the moment, we are sitting at the prototype level with support from various entities to take a lab-based technology where you need a PhD to run it, all the way through to something that anyone can switch it on and it will work.
That really is the heart of unlocking that technology. It's got to be accessible in the marketplace, and not just accessible to a couple of physicists in the lab. When you look at the benefit of devices that run on light over those that use electricity, what are your typical benefits? Why is this so beneficial to humanity?
Let's not take the telecommunications example, because that is very well known to your listeners, I would guess. Let's go to something like medicine. So in a traditional surgery room, you would use steel utensils to open a wound, I guess, and do something inside it and stitch it up. Now you can do the same thing with light. You can cut open the skin, you can do the surgery optically. It self-seals itself. There's no chance of infection. It's all light-driven. And so you can take medicine to a new height. And not only do the surgery with the light, you can visualize what you're doing through fiber optics. You can capture the images. You could do it remotely. So photonics opens up completely new ways of thinking about how the technology could be applied. In our group, we do actually do the telecommunications example. And there, of course, it's speed. It's data. So how much data can you pack down a little tube? Well, it turns out that if that tube is made of light rather than electronics, it's infinitely larger. What we're trying to do is to question the tube and say, well, look, you know, at the moment, all our fiber optics take just one pattern of light. But if we could give them 1,000 patterns of light down the same tube, which is possible in principle, then we could take today's bandwidth and increase it by a factor of 1,000. And so photonics holds tremendous potential that wouldn't be possible in the electronic world.
Now, that is an exponential leap in a country that is looking to provide more broadband and cross that digital divide. Can people follow your work and that of your team? And if there's one message that you'd like to convey to listeners, what would that be?
So, I mean, we are strong advocates for science, and science for impact, and science for change. So I really do believe in South Africa that we have a responsibility to make our science work for people. And we try to do that. We try to write popular articles. We try to be on shows such as this. You know, we get our work out there in a way that people should be able to understand it. But, you know, I think that the public, in addition to reading science and questioning science, they can also demand more science from the media outlets, from the newspapers. You know, bring it more into the window of the public. Let them see the advances that it can reap. And I truly believe that by investing in science, we can drive economic growth, we can get the jobs we want, we can move the country forward. It will take a long time, but it can be done.
Absolutely, and change that culture to one that really celebrates science. A great message. Professor, thanks for your time. We're going to have to leave it there.
Thank you very
much. Put out your hand. No, he's more like a visitor from a parallel universe. His brain is the size of a matchhead, yet he can take a snapshot of the night sky, and like some ancient mariner, he steers by the Milky Way, whereas in the dark of night, we'd go round in circles. In the day, he uses the sun, and at high noon, he uses his antenna to feel the air move.
Meet the dung beetle. The Hoho once worshipped as an Egyptian god, and now his incredible navigation abilities are challenging artificial intelligence students at WITS by contributing to the sciences of robotics and genetics. Since the apple fell next to Newton, nature continues to inspire science.
Life-changing research like this reminds me how proud I am to have studied at WITS.
The University of the Witwatersrand, for good.